Okay, let's unpack this. Today we're diving into quite a remarkable resource. It's the EDUC 5272M Module Companion, Education in a Digital Society, from the University of Leeds by Chrissy Narancy. And the really interesting thing, it's not just, you know, a standard textbook. It's framed as an open living book, always evolving, inviting people in.
That's exactly it. What's so groundbreaking, I think, is how this companion really serves as a blueprint for a genuinely modern way to learn. It's really tailored for the student. It's designed to be dynamic, flexible, and importantly, deeply connected to their actual professional lives. Think of it less like a traditional book and more like a guide, not just to digital education topics, but to a whole new way of engaging with learning, participatory learning.
Right, that custom tailored aspect that really jumps out. So our mission today really is to pull out the most important, maybe the most actionable insights from this companion. We want to give you a kind of shortcut to understanding these cutting edge teaching approaches and the big conversations shaping education now. You know, everything from Gen AI, which everyone's talking about, to the persistent digital divide. So how does it work, this module companion? What exactly is it fundamentally?
Well, at its core, it's an open educational resource, an OER. It came out for the 2025-26 academic year, and it's got that specific Creative Commons license, CC BY NCSA 4.0 International, to be precise, which basically means it's built for sharing, for adaptation, for reuse, as long as it's non-commercial. Oh. It's a powerful signal about democratizing knowledge, you know, and it ties directly into the UN's Sustainable Development Goal for quality education for everyone. But it does make you think, how effectively can open licensing really broaden access globally? That's a big question.
That's a great point. A fantastic example of trying to achieve knowledge equity. And you mentioned collaboration earlier. It wasn't just the author's effort, right? Students were involved.
Oh, absolutely central. The author, Chrissy Narancy, she's a professor in creative and open education, really stresses it was a collaborative endeavor with students. People like Zachary Farouk Chai, Maria Pedloplu, Alexandra Porodowska, Stephen Taylor, they were key student consultants. And that whole collaborative spirit, it runs right through the module's design. It's grounded in critical pedagogies, ideas from thinkers like Paulo Freire and bell hooks. So there's a real emphasis on critical thinking, dialogue, co-creating knowledge within the learning community.
Okay, that collaborative, critical angle explains the dynamic feel. Let's look at how it's structured. Four main parts, I see.
Yes, four parts. Part one is called the module. It basically lays out the module's blueprint, the design, the learning approaches like problem-based learning, PBL, which is crucial here, and it introduces key models like the FISH model. Focus, investigate, share. A way to tackle problems systematically, and also the what, so what, now what model for reflection. These aren't just theories. They're presented as practical tools.
Got it. Then part two, scenarios. What's the deal with these? How do they work?
This is where it gets really practical. For each unit, there are two example scenarios, one for a school, one for a university context. But the key is groups can take these, adapt them, or even use generative AI to create totally new ones that fit their specific professional world. It really grounds the learning in relevant challenges.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, part three, imagining educational futures. This sounds really different. Integrating student narratives. How does that work?
This is where that open living book idea really shines.
Yeah.
Seriously. Part three is literally a space for publishing narratives written by students about the future of education. The insight here is profound. Learning isn't just about taking information in. It's about adding to a living, growing body of knowledge. It flips the whole idea of a static textbook on its head. It becomes this co-constructed, constantly updated thing.
Wow. So the students are literally helping write the book as they learn. That's powerful. And part four seems connected to that idea, learning activities created by students.
Exactly. Part four is basically a curated collection of activities that students themselves have designed and developed. It's all about fostering learning through making, empowering students. They become active creators, not just passive recipients of content. It fundamentally shifts that dynamic.
Right. So it's definitely not about just reading chapters. The whole companion is built around these four core thematic units. Each one uses that problem-based learning approach, tackling real educational issues. And they start with individual warm-ups, those what-if questions, before groups tackle the scenarios together.
Mm-hmm. And if you step back, you see these units are carefully chosen. They address the big shifts happening in education because of digital technology, personal learning environments, AI's impact. They put you, the learner, right in the middle of the kind of complex situations educators are grappling with today.
Okay, let's walk through them. Unit one, the digital learner and educator and discourses. What's the core focus here?
This one really digs into how roles are shifting. For both learners and educators, it looks at concepts like personal learning environments, PLEs, you know, the tools and networks individuals use for their own learning, and also that digital visitors and residents framework, which helps think about how people engage online. What's really interesting is the scenario it paints, this disconnect. Students have these incredibly rich digital lives outside of school or uni.
Right, social media, gaming, creating content.
Exactly. But then their academic learning environment can feel very traditional, very separate. Teachers might be hesitant to try new things, maybe sticking to familiar methods. And students might struggle to see how their digital skills actually apply to their coursework.
Yeah, I can definitely see that tension. So the unit really pushes the listener, you, to think about bridging that gap.
Precisely. How can educators make assignments more relevant, more engaging? How do we update professional development so teachers feel equipped to leverage those skills students already have? It poses those direct questions.
Okay. Unit 2 then moves into learning theories, frameworks, and practice in the digital age. So this is the theoretical underpinning.
Yeah, it grounds you in the foundational ideas informing digital education. Things like social constructivism, learning through social interaction, communities of practice groups, learning together around shared interests, connectivism, learning as network creation. But it also gets practical, introducing frameworks.
Like SETI and AITPAC.
Right. SETI helps analyze how seamlessly tech is actually integrated. And AITPAC is a newer framework, helping educators consider the interplay of technology, pedagogy, content knowledge, specifically with AI involved. The scenarios here highlight familiar problems. Students feeling isolated even in a packed lecture hall or disengaged. While outside class, they're maybe involved in these really vibrant, collaborative online learning communities, or like you hear about students using Gen AI, maybe secretly, just to cope with the workload. That reveals a real tension.
That hidden use of Gen AI is a big one. So this unit forces you to consider how applying these theories could genuinely reshape teaching, make it more connected.
Exactly. It's about moving from just knowing the theory to actively using it to design better, more integrated learning experiences.
Okay, so we've got the individual experience, the theories. Unit 3 tackles something absolutely critical: inclusion, accessibility, and the digital divide. This feels essential.
It really is. This unit zooms right in on equitable access, on making digital learning genuinely inclusive. It confronts how wider societal inequalities play out in digital spaces and how the digital divide impacts learners directly.
And the scenarios reflect that reality.
Starkly, yes. They depict situations like students without reliable internet at home, maybe having to share a single device among siblings, or students facing barriers because digital resources aren't designed accessibly for those with disabilities. And often, educators, even with the best intentions, might not be fully aware of these specific barriers, or they might lack the training needed for truly inclusive design practices. If you connect this to the bigger picture, it really highlights the ethical responsibility educators have. They need to understand and actively address this divide. It aligns perfectly with principles like Universal Design for Learning, UDL, designing learning from the start to work for everyone.
That's a sobering but crucial point. It definitely challenges you, the listener, to weigh the ethics of pushing digital-first approaches without adequate support. And it underscores how vital institutional backing is.
Absolutely. It's about getting beyond just awareness and into practical systemic solutions.
Okay, and the final unit, Unit 4, Datafication and Generative Artificial Intelligence in Education. This tackles two huge interconnected topics.
Huge, yes. It critically examines how data and AI are increasingly shaping education. It covers datafication, this trend of turning everything, including learning activities, into trackable data points. It also covers critical data literacy, understanding how data is used, its limitations, potential biases, and then, of course, generative AI, Gen AI, both its incredible potential and its significant challenges.
Let's just quickly recap Gen AI.
Sure. So Gen AI is the kind of AI that creates new content, text, images, code, whatever, based on prompts you give it in natural language. It learns patterns from massive data sets and then generates stuff based on those patterns. Now, the scenarios in this unit explore things like institutions heavily relying on data analytics to monitor student progress, which can sometimes squeeze out time for actual human interaction between teacher and student. And again, you see students potentially using Gen AI to manage their studies, maybe feeling they have to hide it because they're worried about being accused of cheating. It raises that fundamental question: how do we balance using data effectively with building trust and fostering real learning? especially with the known risk of bias or AI hallucinations.
That's a really tricky balancing act. It forces you to think hard about developing AI literacy, not just for students, but for educators too, and about demanding transparency and how data is gathered and applied, making informed choices, like you said. So those are the thematic units. But beyond the content itself, the companion emphasizes certain ways of working, certain approaches, right, woven throughout the whole module.
That's spot on. A huge one is collaboration. It's stated really clearly. The best resource we have is each other. So there's a massive push for group work, for peer learning, for building those connections. But it's also realistic, acknowledging that working in diverse groups can have its own challenges. It doesn't shy away from that.
Right. And then those specific models we mentioned earlier, the Fischoff model and the reflection model. Let's circle back to those.
Sure. The Fisch model focus, investigate, share. It's essentially a structured process for tackling a problem or scenario. It helps you break it down. What's the core issue? What do we need to find out? How will we share what we learn? It provides a clear pathway for inquiry. And then the what, so what, now what model. It's a really effective framework for reflection, both individually and with peers. It pushes you beyond just describing an experience, what, to analyzing its significance, so what, and planning future actions, now what. It really helps broaden perspectives, uncover assumptions, and they even suggest using creative methods for reflection pictures, poems, videos, not just writing.
That creative reflection piece is interesting, and all this seems to lead towards a very different kind of assessment.
Totally different. The main assessment isn't a traditional essay or exam. It's a narrative piece.
Mm-hmm.
You capture the past, present, and possible future of education related to your own professional context. But here's the kicker. It's framed as assessment as learning, which means after it's assessed, a polished version can actually be published within the companion itself. Contributing back to that open living book, your assessment becomes part of the resource.
That is genuinely empowering, turning your assignment into a published contribution. Okay, and one last key element, the unconference. What's that about?
The unconference. It's this really informal, highly participatory online event near the end of the module. It's where students present their imagining educational futures narrative. It's not like a stuffy academic conference at all. It's much more of an open forum, student-led. It's usually open to anyone, often recorded. And it gives students a fantastic chance to share their thinking, get feedback in a really supportive, public-facing way. It's designed to build confidence and bridge that gap between learning and actually sharing your work with a wider audience. Wow, what a fascinating deep dive into this EDUC 5272M module companion. It's so clear it's not just about learning about education in a digital society. It's about actually experiencing a different way of learning, collaborative, open, really forward thinking.
Absolutely. When you look closely at a resource like this, you see how innovative teaching design can directly tackle those tough, real-world challenges in digital education. It's about equipping both learners and educators to navigate things like datafication, AI, accessibility, but with real critical awareness and, importantly, creativity. So for you listening, what's the big takeaway here?
I think it shows that learning, really deep learning, isn't just about passively receiving information anymore. It's about actively grappling with ideas, working together, reflecting critically, and maybe even adding your own voice to a shared, evolving body of knowledge. It really positions you, the learner, as an active co-creator.
So as you think about all this, maybe consider, how could adopting some of these principles, like the open living book idea, or collaborative, problem-based learning, how could that change your own professional growth or the learning experiences you design or facilitate? What existing fixed resources in your field could maybe benefit from becoming more alive, more open, more collaborative? Something to think about.